Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland. And the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the Muser, Bobby Orr.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit. The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies. I'm here with the great Ken Bolke of Simbin.Vegas and number one fan of one of the number one teams in the NHL. Definitely the number one surprise. How you doing, Ken?
Pretty good. I don't think we're the number one team in the NFL anymore, though, or NHL anymore. And we're definitely not the number one team in the NFL.
you could be. Why not?
Oh, yeah, we're definitely not the number one team in anything. Three in a row now they've lost, and they're playing in about an hour and a half here. And I don't think they're going to win this one either.
I have to say, is it my fault for asking you to come on? They just started losing after I talked to you the other day.
I don't think so. I think they just aren't as good as everyone thought they were. I think they're okay. I think they're a fine team, but I don't think they're all that good.
And you know, if anybody listened to the season preview that we had done earlier before the season started, you know, that was kind of the consensus. Like, you know, they'll be competitive, but at the end of the day, they're playing in the Pacific. It's not going to be that easy of a go at it.
I actually thought they were going to be worse than okay. I thought they were going to be terrible. They're not terrible.
Is there anybody out there saying, like, oh, I knew this. I knew this would happen.
No.
Okay. No. I didn't know if anybody was trying to pretend.
They'd be 8-1 is just a complete idiot. Because nobody – I mean, you could have Stanley Cup winning team and you don't expect them to be 8-1.
It was crazy. I mean, how was the atmosphere out there in Vegas during all that 8-1 run? I mean, it was insane.
It was awesome. It really was. Like, everybody's talking about it. You go to the grocery store and people talking about it in line or whatever. I had a guy come clean the tile in my house, and he saw a Golden Knights shirt that I had on, and he starts talking to me about it. So yeah, it's been good. And oddly enough, the decline that's happened, people aren't fully comprehending that it's happening yet. So it's still kind of the same atmosphere right now.
Definitely couldn't ask for a better start to an expansion team, especially the community, to get everybody going, oh yeah, we have a hockey team. Oh shit, we're 8-1. Like,
exactly.
You could hop on that team really easy. Oh shit, we wear white gloves on the away games. This is badass.
And in one of the home games.
Yeah, I saw that. What was the deal with that? They just wanted to wear them?
No, it was Nevada Day, so they decided that they were going to wear the white jerseys to do like a special thing. And I was all upset because they were, you know, they're 7-1 at the moment, and they're playing a 3:00 afternoon game. I'm like, this is going to be god awful. And then they come out and beat the shit out of Colorado 7-0. And I'm like, oh, we should do this more often.
Yeah,
like,
man. If they could work out a way to just always wear the white jerseys, I'd be happy, man.
I'm a fan. White jerseys are so much better. It's not even close. The only problem is when you wear a white jersey, like the last time I got Penn on my jersey, and now I have Penn on my white jersey.
Oh, it's not good. Yeah, every white jersey I have to remind myself, like, all right, don't spill nachos on it.
Yeah.
Watch the beer. Fucking, it never works out. All my jerseys have a spot of something on them.
Yep. But Penn, come on, of all things, at least get, like, barbecue sauce on something out there. I got Penn on there. It's ridiculous. Not happy about that.
So the team is off to a blazing start. There was a lot of talk about maybe this road trip bringing them back to reality, but it seemed like you guys weren't too worried about it, you know, as they were leaving. You wrote a piece on them going onto the road trip, didn't you?
Yes, I'm still not worried about it. They're 0-3, and I still think that it's the point was of the piece that they're not playing all that good of teams when they go on this road trip. Then, of course, 35 minutes into the first game, they lose their third goalie, and it's like, all right, well, now we're looking at something a little bit different. That being said, I thought they could have beaten the Islanders. I thought they should have beaten the Rangers, and I thought that they just played probably the worst game they've played all year in the last game. And so I don't think they've been out outmanned or anything of that sort. So they're just not playing as well as they were, which was to be expected. And I don't think that has anything to do with them being on the road or being in New York or whatever.
Right.
I think they're, you know, it was time to come off the 8-1. It was time for the puck to hop the other way rather than the Golden Knights' way. So I'm not that concerned about it.
And it really could have gone either way. I know that's, you know, just basically saying words. But when you run into the Islanders, I mean, Tavares is on a tear that he might not have for the rest of the season. So, you know, that's kind of a wash. And, you know, where are they heading today to play?
Ottawa.
You know, and that's a winnable game, too. I don't think Ottawa's all that good, to be honest with you.
I will agree with you. I think they can certainly win this game. I don't know whether they will or not, because I feel like every single time I make a prediction of whether they're going to win, the opposite has come true, which I'm kind of feeling like they can win this game. But, you know, there's always the issue of the goalie.
Right.
You're still going out there with a fourth string goalie, which is at best a fourth string goalie. He's been fine the last couple games, but there's going to be one where we're going to step back and say, oh, man, the goalie lost this one. And that hasn't happened yet, so I'm always hesitant to make a prediction based solely on the fact that that game's coming. I just don't know when it's going to be.
And for all the people living under a giant fucking rock, so they start with Marc-Andre Fleury. He goes down.
Yeah.
And a few days prior to that, Malcolm Subban had been claimed off waivers from Boston?
Correct. He was claimed the day before the season started for Vegas, so it was about the day that the season actually started for the rest of the league.
And they
got signed.
Columbus or Vegas dropped Pickard right before they picked up Subban, right?
After they picked him up. They had three goalies. They said, we might keep three goalies, we might not. We're still figuring that out. And within 4 hours of that press conference, they had waived Calvin Pickard and then traded him after he cleared waivers.
And I thought the Subban signing was odd at best, because from watching him play, especially his, you know, few minutes in the NHL, he looked like a bag of shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it you think McPhee saw something from being over that way in him and like just the way he played? Or was it like, oh, let's just take a shot on this kid?
I think it's the goalie coach. They have a lot of trust in their goalie coach. They think that he's one of the best in the league. And they've said that. And I mean, he was signed right after McPhee was signed. And that was well before the expansion draft. So he's been on board for a long time, probably sitting around doing not much because he didn't have any goalies. But they really like this goalie coach, and he said there's something about this guy. If we can fix one or two little things, and from what we could tell and what we asked Malcolm about, he basically said that it was movement. Just don't move around so often. You're a gigantic man. Just stand there. You'll be much better. And he was able to do that. And then they brought, you know, he gets injured. They bring in another guy, which was
Oscar Dunks, baby.
Was the backup? Yeah, he was the backup, because when they made the first change, when Fleury got hurt, they called up Legace, not Dansk.
Right. Now, did Legace get on the ice at all?
No,
didn't think
because
so.
They don't want to use the third backup. So then he got sent back to Chicago because there was a game.
And then I'm actually familiar with Oscar Dinks. He was a Blue Jacket prospect.
Yes.
And, you know, you see him play, but until he gets a shot up there and really get in, you know, you never know. But to go back to Subban before I get started on Oscar, it was like, wow, this guy can actually fucking play goalie.
Yeah.
Like, he looked,
I think he's going to be all right.
He looked fucking great. His debut, he looked great.
He had one game, his first game against Boston, which is the one everybody was all, you know, pumped about because it was against his old team. He didn't really do much. He kind of just was in the goal, and there wasn't really a challenging shot
until
the end of the game, and he wound up letting it in, and they went 3-1. So I wasn't all that impressed with that game. But the game where he was unbelievable was the one that he got hurt in,
yes.
And that was against St. Louis. He was amazing in that game. They were getting rolled in that game, and they had a goalie standing on his head. And it was Malcolm fucking Subban. So,
yeah, I thought. I mean,
and then Dansk came in and he did great.
Dude, Dansk looked so good. And I thought Subban, when he was in, especially that Boston game, like you said, he didn't have to do much. But I've seen him let in those goals before. And he was just he was managing the game very well. He looked calm. You know,
that's
you said the goalie was teaching him to settle the fuck down and just.
Yep.
And he looked cool as a fucking cucumber back there, man.
You are gigantic. Stop moving outside of the blue paint. If your skate gets outside of the blue paint, you're doing it wrong. You're too big to move outside of the blue paint. I think it was that simple.
How big is Malcolm?
I think he's 6'2", 220 or something.
Big boy.
He's a big guy.
Big boy. Did they get him new pads yet?
They were on their way, and he got hurt before they came in.
Good God, dude. That was making me puke. I was like, somebody get, like, spray paint him or something. Get those fucking things off.
He was so shy about him, too, for some reason. Like, we would ask him, like, you got a new helmet coming? You got new pads coming? And he just didn't really want to talk about it. I finally had the equipment guy. I'm like, what are you guys doing out here? Like, can we get this guy a helmet that doesn't have stickers from the gift shop?
Oh my God, dude. It was like, it was like a fucking 6-year-old gave them to him before the game. Like, here you go, Malcolm. You're my favorite.
That's pretty much exactly what happened, but it worked. So
hey, dude, it did.
I'll allow it.
It reminded me of, the women's national team. They had a girl from Minnesota playing like backup goalie. She was a fucking beast. But she's playing in her Minnesota fucking, like, wine and yellow pads. I'm like, I know you don't pay these girls much, but somebody fucking get her some red, white, and blue fucking pads. Like,
well, they have these things. I can't remember what they're called. Skins or something, where you can actually, like, peel it over the top of a pad. But I think the NHL doesn't allow that. But, like, everybody was telling me about that, and we almost had a sponsorship with them for a minute there. Because they were so obsessed with it, and, like, these guys were like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I'm like, well, can they use it? And like, well, no, it's not NHL sanctioned. No. Like, oh, well, that's not great.
And, you know, how many goalies would even – they might be weird about that, too, because they're very particular men, you know, most of them. So he might have been like – well,
this guy is not.
He's not.
I was shocked by that. I'm like, so, you know, you keep winning. Do you hold those pads off? He's like, no, I'll wear them when they get here. I'm like, what about the helmet? He's like, I'll wear it when I get it. Like,
oh, well, good for him.
Really? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either.
Socks when they win twice in a row.
I think at this point now, I would wear that helmet and then, like, next season have them just paint airbrush little sticker like that on there and be like, this is my look now, dude.
No, go with the stickers. Stay with the stickers.
So you're on your fourth goalie. We actually mentioned him in our show because I'm not a fan of this man, but he's doing okay. But like you said, he is a fourth goalie at best. It's Dylan Ferguson's playing, right?
No, Max Legacy.
Oh, okay. Well, shit, then I'm retarded.
No, Dylan Ferguson is the backup. Dylan Ferguson's 19 years old.
Yes.
He was drafted in the 7th round by the Stars.
Yes.
And then the Golden Knights picked him up by giving them Mark Mathot.
Yep.
So, yeah, Dylan Ferguson and Mark Mathot are effectively equal. And I hope to God we never see Dylan Ferguson in the net because
I hope so
he's
too,
19
dude.
And he gave up 4 goals in a preseason game against Vancouver. And it was rough.
Yeah.
They won that game 9-4.
Yeah, that was the game where I was in and out of sleep and, you know, missed a hat trick somehow that game, if you recall.
That was Tyler Wong, yes.
How's he doing? Is he down in Chicago?
He's in Chicago, and he is he's been not scoring quite at the pace as what he was while he was here. He's just little, and I don't think the AHL is a good fit for a guy like Tyler Wong because it's a much more physical league.
Right.
And he's just – not that, and same with Tomáš Hika. And I think the problem is that with how well those guys played up here during camp, they wind up going down to the AHL, and it's not a league built for them compared to the NHL. I think they do better here.
That's a great point.
Brennan Leipzig.
There's a lot of people.
A guy who, up in the NHL team, he takes the puck, he goes directly to the goal every single time, and then for whatever reason this year, he's having a hard time finishing. But that's... it is what it is. Get yourself in the good position and you're going to be fine. He does that really well. Wong did that. Hika did that. Unfortunately, that doesn't work in the AHL.
No, there's dudes down there that are just trying to kill somebody for a day right. So they can get called up, you know? So that's a great point. I mean, he might be able to produce a little more up here at the show, but they're not having any problem with lack of scoring. That's for goddamn sure.
Not as of up till the last game. The last game, though, they looked anemic at best. I mean, there was probably – I was looking at – do you ever go on the website Natural Stat Trick to get kind of the in-depth stats?
No, I haven't.
check that website out. It's awesome. It's like in-game, you get these really in-depth stats. They have something called High Danger Corsi 4. And if you know what Corsi is, it's basically just any shot. So this is any dangerous shot. And the Golden Knights had 19 in the last game. I didn't remember more than 2. So now I'm starting to doubt that website, although they're so good, and I have watched games back. I haven't watched that Boston game back. I probably should.
Yeah. And they're doing this with a guy who I think both of us and a lot of people were expecting to be a part of this team, Mr. Shipachev. Do you have any information on what the fuck happened there?
So he was – it goes all the way back to when he was first signed, when he very first got signed, which was months before the expansion draft.
Well, was he second guy right after –
Correct, after okay. Mr. Reed Duke, of course.
Yes.
Who, oddly enough, a Reed Duke story, he, in the second rookie game, so well before camp, well before even rookie camp, like nothing was going on. They had a rookie game in El Segundo, where the Kings are. He gets checked into the boards, has some massive shoulder injury, has surgery, and he's been with the team, with the big team, the entire year because of that shoulder injury, where he would have been playing in the AHL. So he's been hanging around Vegas this whole time.
No shit.
So yeah, they'll have like trick-or-treat outings and Reed Duke's there. It's great. But back to Shipachev. So he gets signed, and they send the contract in, and the contract gets declined by the NHL or NHLPA, whoever approves the contracts, because there was a no movement clause in it.
Now
you look back and say, well, maybe he actually wanted that no movement clause, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, why would they refuse it because of a no movement clause? Why?
Because he is a, quote, Group 4 free agent, meaning he's never played in the NHL, and therefore he is only his contract technically falls under the rules of an entry-level contract,
okay,
which means that he's waiver-exempt. He has to be waiver-exempt, and you cannot have a no-movement clause or no-trade clause if you're a Group 4 free agent because he's never played in the NHL. So they resubmit the contract. He doesn't have the no-movement clause. Fast forward all the way to September or early October, they stick him in the minor leagues because they have too many defensemen and they need to save Griffin Reinhardt's ass. I don't know. I was trying to come up with something more mean about Griffin Reinhardt, but I couldn't do it at the moment. Basically, Griffin Reinhardt got waived 9 straight games, and all they did, then they wound up waiving him and putting him he got scratched 9 straight games, put him in the AHL, all to just piss off Vadim Shipachev.
They don't like him, or what, like?
So he came to camp and he seemed to be gelling with a few of the guys, namely Marchessault and Riley Smith. But it never really showed in the preseason games. And then when it came to the regular season starting, they left him off the roster. And I think that was a numbers decision. I think that was like, well, we can waive some defensemen, or we can just stick this guy in the minors for a few weeks until we have some injuries. I think that was the idea. Then the injuries came. He gets to play. I didn't think he was that bad. He played like 9 minutes a game, didn't play much power play time. He scored a goal. Yeah. I didn't think he was awful. Looking back, everybody else seemed to think he was not good at all, including the coach of the team. Gallant, we asked him. He was very hesitant to answer questions. He usually says very nice things about players. He didn't have nice things to say about this guy. So the first time, they told him, you're fine, stay at home. It happened to be like 4 or 5 days after the mass shooting on the Strip. They told him to stay home. So he doesn't go to the AHL the first time. Then the second time, he goes for a day, practices, and then magically disappears 2 hours before the game.
Oh, shit.
And from that moment, you're suspended without pay because you're not doing what the team's supposed to have you doing.
Yeah, for not reporting then.
Now I've seen a Instagram post from what we believe is his wife. It's in Russian, but the only words in there are 2 waving emojis and the words Las Vegas. And then in the picture is a picture of them flying out of Las Vegas. So I'm pretty sure it's over, but if you're the Golden Knights, there's no benefit to letting him out of this contract.
So I had read seen that as well, that he's going back to Russia, but is he just fucking his own career up?
I think so. And I think it goes back to my theory is that it's the agent. I think the agent got played by McPhee and he knows it. He's kind of sitting there saying, God damn it. If he had gone to another team, this would have never happened. We took a little bit more money to go to Vegas. That's why this is winding up happening. But if you're Vegas, you have to sit there and understand that, number one, you cannot under any circumstance terminate this guy's contract and allow him to sign with another NHL team. Because if he plays in the NHL this year and scores a single goal, George McPhee is going to look like a complete dumbass.
Right.
And
so that was the point where
like a dumbass before. See Philip Forsberg. He knows that feeling.
Yeah.
So he's not going to let that happen. So basically, they're waiting for him to sign a KHL contract. The problem is, per the agreement, you can't sign a KHL contract if you're under contract with the NHL.
Right. Because the NHL doesn't give a fuck about the KHL.
No, they're not allowing that.
At all.
So he's basically sitting there with he wants to play. He just wants to play, which I don't understand. If you just want to play,
why not play in Chicago?
Play in the AHL. I agree with you. Why not just go play? He's not doing that. I don't understand that. I don't get why you show up to a practice, put the jersey on, skate around, and then leave. I don't get it. But that's what happened.
I think you have something there where there might be someone in his ear going, okay.
Right. And it's an agent that's done goofy shit like this before, including goofy shit to McPhee. He's Jágr's agent.
Oh, fuck.
So if you go back to the whole Jágr saga,
yeah.
And he, you know, that guy was nearly signed, in quotes, like 46 times this offseason. No, he wasn't. Nobody was giving that guy money, and then he somehow magically winds up on a team and injured. Yeah. Shocker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And Shipp would have made the same amount of money regardless if he was in Chicago or Vegas, wouldn't he?
Exactly. That's the thing I don't fully understand. Yeah, if you just want to play hockey, go down there, dominate, and you will get traded.
You have
no trade value denying playing.
Yeah, and it's not like you're from here anyhow, so what the fuck does it matter if it's Vegas or Calgary or Anaheim? Like, it shouldn't matter at all.
But if you're Vegas now, he's suspended without pay, so why would you let him out of the contract?
No, you're not going to. You're absolutely not going to. And the NHL is probably saying, don't, because fuck the KHL.
Right. That's exactly right.
And I don't know. I was excited about him playing, and maybe I just watched it with fucking Shipachev cocktrain fucking eyeballs on, but I thought he looked good out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he was particularly good. They said his work ethic wasn't ideal, or at least that was kind of hinted at. And I'd have a hard time kind of deciding if that's true or not, because what do I know? I'm just
right.
Sitting in the locker room or sitting in the you know, sitting wherever. But I go back to, I would call the guy every single day and I would ask, did you fire your agent yet?
Yeah.
Every single day. Did you fire your agent? No, I haven't. Okay, we'll call you tomorrow.
Yep. That other dude that came up with him and made his debut that game, was it Touche?
Alex Tuch.
Dude, he's a bad motherfucker, man.
Yeah, he's probably one of the best players. He may be the best player on the team.
Dude, he's no joke.
Yeah, he was. He came from Minnesota. They gave up, I believe, a second or third round pick to get him in the expansion draft, and they also chose not to take Matt Dumba. So it was a combination of not taking Matt Dumba, and instead they got Eric Halla and Alex Tuch.
Oh, that fucking works out for you. Damn.
I'd rather have Alex Tuch and Eric Halla.
For sure. I mean,
this guy is a beast. Like, he is something else. He parks that ass in front of the goal.
I was just about to say, dude, he puts his big ass body right there and fucking just, he's dirty as shit, dude. Doesn't give a fuck.
He's fantastic.
Now, I thought by this point you would be seeing Vegas or hearing, you know, some of these guys getting dealt out. But if you're staying competitive and, you know, top three in the Pacific at this point, do you think these trades are going to start happening, or do you think they're going to try to ride this team out a little longer than they had expected?
I think it still happens. I think they understand that they're kind of still a mishmash. So if you take up, if you say you took James Neal off the team,
right?
From afar, that would look like, oh no, 8 goals, whatever. He's really cooled off and hasn't done all that much other than get whacked in the face with a stick and draw a 4-minute penalty. Outside of that, he hasn't really done much outside of the first probably 4 or 5 games. David Perron's another one that people are all, you know, he's scoring all these goals. He's got the shootout, or, you know, yes, the shootout goal, whatever. He gave up a couple of different penalties and probably lost them 2 games as well. So I think you look at the roster, and because there's no superstar and there's no disaster, that you can basically make any trade you want, and as long as you're not decimating like 7 or 8 players, you're going to be just fine.
Well, and why not strike while the iron's hot on Neil and Perron before they cool off too much as well? It seems like it would be a good time, and you can get some shit for those two guys. I mean, those are two dudes that can go help any team they go on.
And that's another example of the Shipashub story of why not just go to the AHL. Because yeah, they probably are going to make one of these moves, and at some point they are going to need another forward, and he'd be the guy.
Dude, you got to fucking call him and tell him you're his agent.
I know. I don't even want to be your agent. Just fire your other agent and come back. I don't really care.
Dude,
I really don't want to see them sign the guy for $9 million, have him come in for a training camp that he doesn't speak English, play 3 games, relatively okay / bad, whatever, however you want to say it, and then be gone. Like, I don't understand that, and I don't understand how that benefits anybody, so I don't want to see it.
I think
I want to see him come back.
I don't want to see him in the KHL. I want to see him at least give it a go here in the NHL.
Yes.
And I don't want him to have to look back in like 5 years when he's playing for fucking whoever the fuck they are and go, what did I do?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to do that. I think he realizes, like,
yeah, I think so too.
He put himself in a bad position, and he probably should have never signed with Vegas in the first place. And that was his agent's fault. And his agent knows it. Because they attempted to put in the no move clause, and when it got denied, they probably should have had some red flags there. I know we did.
Yeah.
And I had a call with the PR guy from the organization, and it was basically written off towards something was lost in translation. Now that I'm looking back, that was complete horseshit. It was not lost in translation. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew he wasn't going to be on the roster if they had too many defensemen, which they knew they were going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, the moment the rules came out, which was June 22nd, prior to George McPhee being here, they signed George McPhee, they signed Kelly McCrimmon about a month after that. They knew what they were doing. They understood we're going to have to take too many of some position, and the answer is probably going to be defensemen, because you can slip defensemen through waivers easier than you can slip goalies through waivers.
Yep. Man.
And then they went out and they signed a couple of players. Tomas Chica, waiver exempt. Tyler Wong, waiver exempt. Reed Duke, waiver exempt. Vadim Shipashov, waiver exempt. Make two trades. Shea Theodore, Alex Tuck, both waiver exempt. Both started in the AHL.
Ah, dude, yeah, that's I mean, for Vegas, they're going to come out, you know, McPhee's actually going to look like he knows what the fuck he's doing here.
I mean, he does, except for the fact that when you look back at what actually went down, they healthy scratched Griffin Reinhart for 9 straight games. And because they did that, they wound up sending Vadim Shipashov to the minor leagues. Had they not done that, they would have gotten 9 games out of Vadim, and then we would have had a better idea if he's not useless or not.
Right. Yeah, and that, you know what, like, I mean? And that's that money, he's going to get that money anyhow.
Well, he has to pay it back if they terminate the contract. He has to pay a majority of it back.
I did see that.
To me, who cares?
Right.
Like, I'm weird in that case. Like, they're not against the cap. They're not adding another player this year. If Bill Foley's rich as fuck, who cares? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, dude. That's a good point, man. Hey,
it wouldn't shock me if we got Bill Foley if he said, I don't give a shit. Just get him back here. Let him play so we can get something out of him.
Bill Foley's a fucking cool dude.
He's great.
He's a cool dude. He's like, he seems like one of the few owners that you could actually talk to and be like, ah, man, this guy's not bad. Let's have a beer. Like, this guy's all right. He's an actual human being.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's
a stone cold killer when it comes to business, which is great.
And he actually might have killed people, right?
I doubt it, because he was kind of he was in the army, but he was kind of a blue collar army guy where he was behind the, white collar.
Yeah.
What's the one that works?
Yeah. Blue collar is the worker. He's a white collar boy.
Yeah, he's white collar. God damn it. I always get those mixed up. Can't even blame colorblind, because that wouldn't even make sense. I'm not colorblind, but I was going to make it up and say it was, but that wouldn't have made sense in that situation.
You don't see classes, man. You're a classless.
That's right.
You know, that's what it is. You're so
everyone's the same in my book. Vote Bernie Sanders.
I saw a Bernie Sanders like massive fucking sticker on the back of this dude's car last night when I was, and I was just like, why not put that in your garage? Like, that's on your car, buddy. Like,
next time you do that, go up to him, ask him to roll down the window, and ask him if you can have $5. He should just give it to you.
it just said "Feel the burn," dude. It was fucking. It was
that was a great slogan.
It was hilarious, dude. Why not?
Slogan was phenomenal. That man was phenomenal. It's just his ideas were communism. So I
nobody's getting down with communism, and he's an old kooky man. But
he's great. But he's a little what he believes in is a little nuts.
Yeah, him and his eight houses, he's trying to fucking give. Everybody's the same. I got a few more here for you, Ken. I know you got to get rolling out here. Is Gallant as good as he's looking right now? Yes. And I liked him in Florida, so I have to agree with you. I think shocked when he got fired, dude.
I think he's just one of those guys where when things are going well to okay, the players are going to absolutely love him. When things start going south, you're going to look at him and he has the ability to be crass from time to time to kind of just speak his mind. And it's not singling players out, but he singles the team out as like, this was a winnable game. We should have won. It was ridiculous. And he even said, we pissed away 2 points after they're 8-3 at the moment. You're like, all right, dude, you need to calm down a bit.
Yeah.
But I think that he's the kind of guy that he's a player's coach. They all love him. He's going to be good. He's very good at developing players, and he's pushing the right buttons to this point. So I like him a lot, but I think he's the kind of guy that when things go south, he's an easy guy to point the finger at.
You gotta love a dude that comes out for the presses after the game and just fucking sweatpants and like sandals it actually has real answers to questions.
Unless you ask about Vadim. In which case, then he says, ask George. And then we say, all right, we'd love to ask George. And they say, oh, George isn't
available. George isn't coming. George is unavailable. what's up with my boy Derek England? Why is he such a nice guy out there?
Derek England's the man. I mean, as a human, he's like the best. There's no doubt about that. That speech on opening night at home was like, I was crying. It was embarrassing to me, but that shit was unreal.
He's a remarkable human.
He's so awesome. He's just, he's starting to be a bit of a liability on the ice, which I had a feeling was coming.
I had to drop him from my fantasy team. I thought he was going to give me a couple fights at this point because we count our penalty minutes in our league. And, he's putting up a couple points, but he is keeping his ass out of that penalty box, man.
Yes, he is.
Holy shit.
He has not gotten in many fights at all. That's been McNabb's job. He's been just lighting guys up on the boards. And for some reason in 2017 NHL, if you get hit hard on the boards, you have to go punch the guy in the face even when the hit was clean.
A bunch of fucking crybabies, dude.
I don't understand that.
It's a bunch of fucking crybabies. And then, like, if you're going to go fucking throw them, like, at least – half the time it just makes hockey fights look bad because they're just seesawing each other. Fucking, just kiss him and let's move on. Let's get it. Fucking,
they're guys that don't want to fight. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you said,
you're not going to get a bad Derek England fight. Like he's going to fight you. But when I think it was, I can't remember which game it was. Now that I'm, it was Colorado. The game that they were winning, that they were smoking him. It was like 5-6-0. McNabb lays this monstrous hit on this guy, and somebody just walks over and starts punching Pierre-Edouard Bellemare. And I'm like, why is this happening? He didn't do anything.
Somebody had to get punched, dude. I guess it's going to be Bellemare.
Holy shit, Bellemare's the best, by the way.
And fucking Nate Schmidt, dude, he's tearing it up out there.
Awesome. Nate Schmidt's been really good on the ice, too. We were concerned about him because his preseason was garbage. He and Spezza, their preseasons were terrible, and now on the ice, they're the two best players. It's awesome.
It's a lot of likable guys. The team is very likable.
Yep. There's no doubt about it. And, like, even beyond – I know a lot of people don't have the access that I have, but, like, Brad Hunt is probably the nicest human being on the face of the planet. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare is amazing. David Perron just wants to give quotes. Like, that's all he wants to do is be quoted. Like, well, the Schmidt is a goof. Hall is a really good guy.
Dude, Schmidt's hilarious.
He's nuts.
He's hilarious, dude. Well, that's why, people, you got to make sure to go check out Sinbin.Vegas, because you're in there in the fucking trenches covering, putting up videos, writing great pieces. So if you have any interest in this team at all, you have to go to Sinbin.Vegas. And the Twitter's killing it at all times, too, man.
We interviewed Oscar Dansk right after his shutout and asked him if he knew that he gave away a dozen donuts to every fan in the building. He didn't know. We had him on camera. It was great.
There's only two things that I've heard people hate about this team. One is obvious, the Twitter account, because that just bothers people. But I think it's fine. It made my wife not like you guys, though, because of the
Have you ever watched Tosh.0?
Yeah.
So Tosh.0, if you're in the right frame of mind, Tosh.0 is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he says like six funny things over the half hour. And if you only concentrate on the funny things, you'll find that show great. But if your focus is in the wrong place and you're waiting for him to make a bad joke, Tosh.0 makes about 8 bad jokes for every 1 good joke.
Yeah.
That's the Golden Knights Twitter
account. I forget what they said, something about like, there was the night they were playing Detroit. We had this, the same amount of playoff wins from last season or some. I thought my wife was going to kill somebody in here.
Yeah, some of them. And that one, that's a good one, because those are funny from time to time. But, then for some reason they don't use capitalization. I don't understand that. It's always called twitter.com for some reason. I don't understand that portion of it. The use of emojis is, like, disturbing.
Suspect at best. Yeah, dude.
I don't think he tweets ever without an emoji.
No, I don't think he knows how to.
That's a problem for me.
Yeah. And then the other issue, and people need to calm the fuck down on this, the Gila monster. I don't know why it set Twitter ablaze. I know you had said something that night they unveiled him. It's for children.
Yeah, I love him.
He's fucking cool, man. I mean, I'm a Blue Jackets fan, as you know, and people hate that we have Stinger. He's a fucking...
Whatever that bird is. What is it, a bee?
It's a bee, dude. It's a Blue Jacket.
There's no such thing as a Blue Jacket.
They're there is, and he's a fucking mascot for the Blue Jackets.
I hear you.
He's awesome, dude. He's super... Kids love him. He's super cool. The NHL made us get rid of the cannon, Boomer, because he's too violent and offensive.
Yeah.
But
everything's offensive.
The Gila monster's he's fucking cool.
He's awesome.
He's fucking
like people,
cool.
Yeah, people need to calm down. And if you still have a problem with him, go on. It's on my Twitter somewhere. I can send you the link. They did a mean tweets about Chance the Gila monster. It's hilarious,
dude. Make sure you send me that, and I'll retweet it out. Right, I want to see it myself too. All right, dude, we got to get going. I got to get you out of here. Let's go over the fight card tonight, because I know you're, like me, a degenerate gambler, and we got a big card tonight. Are you going?
I am not going. That one is in – it's somewhere else. It's not here.
No, that's right. It's in fucking – it's in New York, Madison Square Garden.
Ugh. That means we'll have two fucked up decisions by the refs and by the judges. God damn it. Is it really in New York?
I'm almost positive. And they're the worst commission in fighting?
God, they're awful.
The worst. They're the fucking...
I cannot stand watching fights there, because they will screw up one of the main three fights.
And dude, what's freaky is these top four fights in the main event, like in the main card, they could go to decision. So you might get two of the four, big matchups getting shit on.
I'm devastated.
I want your picks on these. I got two from the prelims and then the main card. First one is Randy Brown versus Mickey Gall.
I want to not believe in Mickey Gall, but every time I stop believing in Mickey Gall, he just destroys somebody. I'll take a Gall. I like Randy Brown, but what has Randy Brown ever done? I think I remember the last time we did this, we went over guys that have never fought anyone, and then they go out and they destroy and they afterwards.
They were working. I forget the one dude we were talking about, and he had like one of the hardest beatdowns ever.
Dominant. Yes. So, I forget who it was, but yes, I'll go Mickey Gall, but I'm looking on my phone. He's minus 120, so that's a true toss-up.
I'm taking Mickey Gall all day on that. I think they're bringing him up the right way, and you beat CM Punk, whatever. But
damn it, this card is amazing,
dude. It's fucking remarkable how Like, you might as well just take my money. I'm buying this fucking – it's insane.
It's amazing.
OSP and Corey Anderson.
OSP.
Yeah, he looked real good in his last fight.
When he's healthy, he's one of the best.
Yeah, he really is. So people have cooled off on him for whatever reason, but definitely OSP.
I think Corey Anderson is one of those guys that he's going to beat your bums, and he's going to hang in there with your good guys, and you're going to think, well, this guy could be good, but he's just never – I never see him taking that next step.
There's that middle level in UFC where I feel bad for those guys. You just get punched in the face for a living, yep. And like you're never going to get that title shot, dude.
Yep, that's Corey Anderson.
Next one is Puff Boy fucking Hendricks versus Paolo Borachima.
Whenever you possibly can, bet against Johnny Hendricks.
He switched camps. He's swearing he's going to go undefeated out of Jackson's. He missed weight last fight. I think it's
when
time.
When doesn't he miss weight? Was he on weight this time? I wasn't paying enough attention.
I didn't see the weigh-ins yesterday, but I'm guessing he missed it. He always does. And he looks so big the last picture I've seen of him.
Minus 320 for Borachina.
Really?
Yeah. With that number, I would consider Hendricks.
I would too. That's...
I know better. I'm not betting. I'm not doing it.
Next one, Wonderboy versus Masvidal. Yeah, real fight. Going to be badass.
All right, I'm going with the upset.
Is Wonderboy the fucking...
No, I'm taking Jorge.
All right, I like it. I don't have the actual card in front of me.
Plus 155, plus 155. Thompson minus 175. Okay. I mean, Thompson fights are a pain in the ass. Because you pretty much know right out of the gate whether the other guy's going to have any chance against them or not.
Yeah.
And I just think I just can't see Masvidal. Like, I think Masvidal's the kind of guy where if it's not working... He'll throw caution to the wind, and he'll go right up in there.
And
it may work, it may not, but at least we'll get to see something enjoyable.
And I don't think Wonderboy's used to that kind of anarchy in the octagon. His fights have seemed more like kickboxing, kind of structured inside of an octagon.
Yes.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk, as close as I can get to that fucking last name, and Rose.
It should be a better fight than what I think a normal Joanna fight is.
Yeah, she usually pieces that bitches up.
Joanna's minus 650, which is
is that the biggest?
Massive.
Is that the largest
that's a big
one?
Number against Rose? I will stick with Joanna, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah,
I'll pick Joanna, but I think Rose is going to hang in there. I think it'll be a good fight. I think it'll be a fun fight to watch. I wouldn't be surprised if Rose wins two rounds.
That one's going decision.
I changed my mind. I'm betting on Rose because it's in New York.
Oh, dude, that could be one of them.
They're going to fuck the decision up.
That could
betting
be
in Rose.
That could be the first one you see, dude, and that wouldn't surprise me. Because the way Joanna beats up ladies, it's tactical and very precise, and it's not very fancy. So that could be something that New York would be like, nah, she lost.
And Rose hits hard.
Yeah.
And if Rose hits her hard a few times.
That's all it's going to take.
I'm calling the oops we fucked it up call right on that one.
And they love those a takedown seems bigger than a fucking piecing somebody up all day long.
Rose wins, but Twitter's pissed. That's my pick.
The fight of the night for me, Ohio boy Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw. This fight's intriguing as shit because they actually don't like each other, and I appreciate that.
Year. Yeah, this is the best. This is the best fight of the year.
Fight of the year.
This is the fight we've been waiting for a long time. Thank goodness they're both there and it's happening.
Yes.
I'm going TJ.
I won't pick TJ only because Cody's from Ohio. And I think if Cody tries to come out and do that fucking fancy boy shit he did with Dominic, TJ will eat him alive.
Yep. But I think Cody is the kind of guy that the more pissy he gets in the fight, the better. So that's a benefit for him. So and then there's always the MMA math of the Cruz Dillashaw fight was really close.
Yeah.
Cody goes in and just destroys Cruz, so he shouldn't, in theory, have a problem with TJ. But that's such a good fight. That's going to be, I'm so happy, honestly, that I'm not in the building for that one, because that's going to be one that's way better to watch on TV.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Granted, the next one's the opposite.
I almost hope TJ wins just so they can fight again and then for a third time. Yep. Make this bitch a trilogy, man.
I would agree with that.
And then the main event is GSP coming in the ring for the first time in 4 years against Mr. Michael Bisping for the championship at 185.
What a dumb main event. Am I the only one who doesn't like this fight? Like,
no, I haven't heard one person excited about this.
Like, why? I just don't get it. GSP has been out for so long.
He jumps this a whole, he jumps a whole weight class, dude. Like,
why? How in the world is Bisping the champ and has defended the belt? I just don't understand how that happened.
It's not going to happen much longer, man.
I think he wins this one, though.
It wouldn't shock me. And what's stupid is if GSP wins, he's not going to defend. He's going to vacate the belt anyhow and go fight at 170. He's got two fights left. He's going to fight this, and if he wins, he's going to go down and meet Mr. Conor McGregor at 170 for a fucking mega fight, and then that's it. Lights out.
Okay. Well, if that's the option, then I'm cheering for GSP because I need Conor back in there,
dude.
And I think that may be the only way that it can happen.
Did you hear what he said to the UFC the other day?
No.
If you want to see him fight in the UFC ever again, he wants to be the co-promoter.
He should be.
Absolutely, he should be. He said, dude, I made $100 million last fight. He's like, it's different now. Shit's different. So if you want me, I'm co-promoter. That's it.
Good for him. And I want to see that movie. He just released this movie. I want to see it.
What movie?
He just released, like, the Conor McGregor story, like, the movie, like, fucking Paramount Pictures or some shit.
On RedTube?
Not RedTube, goddammit. It's a real movie.
I've never fucking heard of it, dude.
Get on his Instagram. He's all over that. He's everywhere.
Oh, shit. Ken, thank you so much for coming on, man. Tell the Biscuit Babies where they can find you.
Sinbin.Vegas is the website. We don't do that www.com shit. We just do Sinbin.Vegas, so you don't need the W's. You don't need the coms. Don't do any of that. At Sinbin.Vegas, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
And you guys got merch up on there too, don't you?
We're doing this new thing. Today's the third game, and we'll do it for pretty much every single road game. We're doing Mystery Science Science Theater 3000 during the Golden Knights games.
Where can you find that on the
.Vegas? You just go on the website or download the Mixlr app, Mixlr, and we literally just sit there and watch the game, and we talk along with the game with the guest, and it's gone really well, and it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of swearing at the commercials.
Dude, that sounds amazing. That's a brilliant idea, dude.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing it, and we got some really cool guests coming up. We got a gold medalist coming up. We got Daniel Negreanu who's coming up.
I'm going to have to check that out.
We got some cool stuff.
And that's I can get to that from your website, you said?
Yep, just go right on the website, and we post it 30 minutes before the game starts. We go on the air 15 minutes before the game starts.
And you guys still have them hats and shirts on the website, too. Those things are sick.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, go buy some shit, guys. Yeah, the hats are sweet, dude.
And buy tickets from the website that we're promoting, Ticket IQ.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, do that.
They will. All right, thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate you coming on, man. Go Knights.
Go Knights.
See you, dude.
Later.